Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joyous feast.
Joyous feast.
Before you sit on the floor, get as close to the icon as you can. It is not with us for very long. We heard from St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews that we are participants, recipients of the unshakable kingdom. The unshakable kingdom, which is made possible through the God-man Jesus Christ. The unshakable kingdom, which is the new creation, made possible through the God-man taking on sin and death. Indeed, the old creation, the old kingdom has come to an end. The new is here, and we are members of it, the new kingdom of God. What we celebrate today and tomorrow are events which beckon us to become one with them. Today we celebrate the raising of Lazarus, and as the readings, as the hymnody proclaims, we are entering the mystery of the preparation of Christ's own passion, death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus goes to Bethany. Bethany is, anyone familiar with biblical geography? Mm-hmm. How far is Bethany from Jerusalem?
2 miles.
2 miles from Jerusalem. Jesus is going to a place his disciples don't want to go. Why? What does the text say?
They're afraid.
They're afraid because prior to crossing the Jordan, prior to escaping the crowd of Jews surrounding Jesus, he was going to be stoned. He was going to be killed. Why? Because he made himself equal to the Father. The one who goes to Bethany is the one who is equal to the Father in his divinity. The one who is going to Bethany is going to raise his friend Lazarus from the dead. But that is not the end. Jesus will go from Bethany and make his way eventually into Jerusalem, the holy city, the city of the temple. And yet, this new creation, this new kingdom that has been established, in which we are part of, begins where? Outside of the walls of Jerusalem, on Golgotha. Jesus goes to Bethany and raises his friend Lazarus, and in this event, so many things are unfolding, and we can, if we were to go through our reading for this morning from John's Gospel with a fine-tooth comb, we could be here probably to bright Monday. There's so much that is condensed in these verses. Thomas says to the 11 that we are to follow Jesus. We are to follow him and what? And do what with him?
Die.
Die. Let us follow him. Let us die with him. So we can already begin to sense in the gospel. You can sit if you wish now. We can sense in this pericope, in this reading, the tremendous tension that is building up. This Lazarus event, by the way, is the last and greatest of the seven signs in the Gospel according to St. John. This is, for all intents and purposes, the end of the public ministry of Jesus. It is a turning point from Jesus performing, revealing himself as Messiah, which is confessed by who in this morning's reading? Who confesses Jesus to be Messiah. Martha. Martha. Jesus is recognized by Martha as the anointed one of God, the one who, as Jesus says, is the resurrection, the one who is going to confirm and affirm that reality by raising her brother from the dead. Jesus goes to Bethany. He is the anointed one of God and has the book of signs as the public ministry ends in John's gospel. We turn to the book, to the text of glory. Jesus is glory. Jesus' glory is going to be revealed most supremely on the cross. And we will get to that tomorrow and through Holy Week. But for now, we have to keep in mind what is happening in the Gospel according to St. John. The book of signs comes to an end. The book of glory begins. Jesus goes to Lazarus' tomb. And what is his state of being?
Troubled.
So when we hear this word, when we say this word, Jesus is troubled, what comes to mind? Anxiety. Anything else?
Gethsemane
is certainly in here. Not explicitly, certainly implicitly. There are two verbs. See, we have to always pay attention to verbs that are used in Jesus' approaching the tomb of his beloved friend Lazarus. We read in English that he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. The Greek verb embryame means, entails, includes this idea of fretting, of groaning in spirit. Jesus is not just disturbed, he is groaning in spirit. He is greatly agitated. He is angry. Why? Why are these emotions being expressed by the evangelists regarding our Lord? The enemy is dead, and we were not created. The Master, the anointed one of God, did not with the Father and the Spirit create us, give us life in order for life to be taken away from us. He created us to have life, to have it in abundance with Him. So He is approaching the tomb of Lazarus with this troubled, agitated, angry spirit, because death is an anomaly. Death is an abomination. Death is something that was never intended to befall the human person. He is greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. When we hear this term, deeply moved, what comes to mind? It's not only trouble. The word, the Greek word is taraso. It's not only troubled, there's also an element of fear that is involved. Why fear? Why fear? Gets back to what Michael said about Gethsemane. What do we know about Gethsemane and the Synoptic Gospels? He prays that what is to happen to him may pass. This does not happen in the Gospel of John. But nevertheless, we can sense a prelude to Gethsemane by Jesus going to the Lazarus. He is angry, agitated, deeply moved. what is going to happen to him. In fact, later on in John's Gospel, this word, terasso, is used, continues to be used, the verb continues to be used. And one way it is used is by the evangelist pointing out that Jesus is going to be betrayed. And knowing that he is to be betrayed makes him agitated, makes him fearful. Indeed, Gethsemane is being built up in the Gospel of John without Gethsemane being described, being outlined as it is in the Synoptics. Jesus comes to the tomb, and how is Lazarus raised from the dead? Those who pay very careful attention to the text. And see, I have the advantage because I have the text in my hand.
He called me.
He called, but he not only calls. What does the text say?
He addresses him by name,
but he cries out. This is an important detail. It doesn't just say, he cries out. He cried his word, his power. He who is the pre-eternal word of God, incarnate for us and for our salvation, cries out with his word. Lazarus, come forth. His word is life-giving. Later on in John's Gospel, we will hear another cry. Jesus cries out to give Lazarus life. What is the other cry that we will hear in John's Gospel? Crucified. Crucified. The word of God offers life. The word of Jesus' followers, of Jesus' people, of Jesus' disciples. He's put him to death. The word of the world, of the kingdom which has been overcome through Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. That world which has been overcome by the victory of the word of God is only able, ultimately, to offer the word of death. This is what John is pointing to, the evangelist is pointing to. The world offers the word of death. The kingdom which is being established in and through Christ offers the word of life, the word of salvation, the word of sanctification, the word of deification. This is what Nathaniel Scott has entered into. You have entered into this kingdom which cannot be shaken. You have entered into the kingdom which offers new and eternal life to everyone who desires to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You have entered the kingdom in which, from now and forever, you are given the opportunity to grow more closely, more intimately with the triune and tripersonal God. You have entered the unshakable kingdom which offers you the word of life, and that word of life grows, that word of life is nurtured, that word of life offers fruit in and through the Spirit which you have been sealed with this morning. Brothers and sisters, if we dare to say we are disciples of the Lord, then we must be a people who can offer the word of life to the world. Not the word of division, not the word of hatred, not the word of polemics, but the word of life. Our words must point to the very word himself, the incarnate word, who is Jesus Christ, who has come into the world so that we might have life have in abundance. Finally, a detail in the idol, and I always point this out, but since there are always new people, it's good to repeat the obvious. Lazarus is bound in burial cloths. Why? Compare, contrast the icon of Lazarus coming forth from the tomb and the icon of Jesus rising from the dead. Lazarus has funeral bands, funeral cloths, the Lord doesn't.
Because Lazarus is going to die.
They both said the same thing.
My two sides of my brain can't process things. What did you say, Martin?
Lazarus is going to die again.
Lazarus is going to die again. That's why we sing this is a prefiguration. We announce that this feast is a prefiguration of what is yet to come. Lazarus is risen from the dead, but he will die again. But when he dies again, he enters into that rest, that death which is filled with the abundance, filled, which contains the abundance of life, because Jesus is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death. So brothers and sisters, we are given this mystery of Lazarus' resurrection. Together we are to embrace it, we are to enter into it, so that we can more deeply enter into what it means our Lord will enter his city and die outside of its walls so that everyone and everything might have new and eternal life.